inspired to come here and tell a story. And the story theme from last time started with the Last Supper, and then dot, 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 at my place. And the Last Supper, the first thing that came up in my mind was about a friend of mine, so I'm going to tell you about him. I want you to bear with me a little bit, because when I was practicing it by myself at home, halfway through, it's quite a heavy story, halfway through I started crying. I promise it's inspirational, I promise, but so bear with me a bit. So my friend's name is Karmt, and he's the type of person that would walk into a meeting room when we were working together, and he'd apologize in advance for how fast he was going to speak. And that he would randomly, like, insert topics from, like, random, like, other areas, other topics that had nothing to do with what we're talking about, but he'd apologize in advance. And when I saw him in action, I thought, oh, my God, he reminds me of my brother. My brother had to learn to speak with a spoon in his mouth to slow his mind and his mouth and synchronize them. And I met Karmt like all these years later, and I'm like, oh my God, he's just like him. He's so speedy, and so we became friends because we could handle this like super speedy dynamic, and I was just used to it. And it was just a nice a nice dynamic kind of person to talk to for me. And what we really really loved to do was analyze shit. It's like, I'm a life coach as well, and I love personalities and behaviors and how the brain works, how societies work, how teams work. And he was a person who was really often in doubt and often contemplating, like, you know, his own boundaries, and he liked to explore, and for that he needed to understand other people as well. So we'd analyze the shit out of, like, personalities and behaviors and our friendship and stuff like that. The thing was is that in the beginning we'd see each other often, we'd work together, but after a while we kind of, like, you know, moved on in separate directions work-wise, and we didn't get to see each other as often as we might have liked. But I should mention, he's a consultant, and consultants seem to work like 2,800 hours a week, and just like all their time is just gone, and he'd try to call me up and squeeze me in between 6 and 6.30 because he had to rush off and eat dinner with his wife, and I'd be like, fuck off, and he'd say, yeah, okay, well, yeah, we just didn't see each other that often. We talk, but we wouldn't see each other. One day last year, early last year, we went out for dinner, and this is the Last Supper thing, kind of. We went out for dinner, and we were analyzing shit, and we started talking. That's what we do. So we analyzed shit, and we started talking to the topic of our friendship and how we became friends, and started analyzing the crap out of that. And, like, a part of the way through, I don't know exactly how it happened, but he kind of went in the direction or whatever that he was friends with me because he thought I was beautiful. And I was like, what? But we know each other for so long. And what? And that's not the basis of our, what? And my mind's going like, what the fuck? Like, and he starts trying to what the fuck did I say, and I offended her, and that's not what I meant, and he explained himself, but I'm still going like, what? And I'm really direct, and so I'm just like, we cannot be friends, and this is not the basis of a friendship, and blah, 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 blah. And so it was a weird kind of, he's like, but I didn't mean that, and I promise you, and it's just, we're from such different worlds, and you're in this, like, creative world, and it's so interesting, and all the people around you are so interesting, and, you know, why are you friends with me? And I kind of got that, you know, it took, like, a few days of talking and whatever, but, like, I got that, and I understood, and I said, okay, well, I get that, and you know, we figured out that it was okay, we were friends still, and I let it go, but he didn't really let it go, because he's a person who's kind of full of doubt often, as I mentioned before. And he started doubting whether I wouldn't get offended when he'd open his mouth and, like, randomly blurt shit out. And so it was awkward. It was kind of strange. And it was, at the same time, I had a lot going on in my life. I had a burnout. And so we didn't see each other that often. And it was weird because we had this, like, I'd been to his wedding. I did workshop at his wedding, and like, we were close, and then it was kind of like, you know, a bit distant, and we were in our own thing. And he, sorry, I'm going to take a glass of water. And he writes me one day, and I don't know if it was, like, through a text or through an email, but he writes me one day, and he tells me he has ALS, and that he was writing to me because it was easier and less exhausting for him to write. Now, for anyone who doesn't know what ALS is, it's a neurodegenerative illness that they give you 2 years to live, and that your body just deteriorates in the meantime. And so that was fucking huge, and like, really. And me thinking, oh my God, my last dinner with him. So we talked, and I did the best thing that I knew how, which was to give him as much support and love as I could through text and through email, because it started in his tongue. For a man who spoke so quickly, and ironically how I even thought that he reminded me of my brother, but it started in his tongue, and he started speaking like kind of like a drunk man with a very heavy tongue, and he started losing like the strength in one of his arms, and it happened so quick. It was literally like that when he was telling me that he was diagnosed, like that, it was already there. I was giving him, you know, like messages, having him think about himself. I'm a life coach as well, so I'm really like try to focus and take time. It takes time, and you know, you need a process to grieve, and you know, anything goes right now. You know, I get like anything that happens, but it was quite intense for him. And he spent like a few months, a relatively short time in retrospect, but a few months just dealing with it and processing all of that. And he made a decision. And he decided, he told his friends and his family that he's fighting this. And he took, what he did after that was amazing. He took his consultancy skills, he's like top, high-notch, like, consultant, took all of his skills and his knowledge, and he applied it to the research of finding the cure for ALS. And in the last, like, little over a half year, he has humbled me and inspired me in ridiculous ways, because he's taken his knowledge and applied it, and he's connected, like, you know, the money's over there in Japan, and the brains are over here in Holland, and the, you know, research is happening in Geneva, and he's made a database, and he's gotten together, and he's being funded actually by the company he's working for, or he was working for, to basically fight for his life. And they're supporting that. And the amazing thing is he's made such a difference in such a short time that the company is actually trying to model that so that they could use his model, his framework, his processes for other diseases to find, you know, accelerate cures for other diseases. So even if he were to stop today, like, he's made, like, such a huge leap forward and so inspired. It's, like, my mind just flows. But to get back to, like, my story with him, so it was a bit awkward for those first months, and he was found me quite intense, because I was really trying to have him think about himself. And when we decided to meet, I was meeting him and his wife, and he, like half an hour before we were supposed to meet, he sends me a text and he asked me to, like, just tone it down a little bit. So basically, he told me, like, don't be yourself. Like, I can't handle you right now. Like, don't be yourself. And I was in burnout, right? And so I'm there emotional as fuck, and he's, like, telling me, don't be yourself. And so I get there, and I'm like... Yeah, okay. Then, you know, he's dealing with all this stuff, so it's like, I don't know what he needs right now, but you know, just be like very superficial and just smile and not have all this like emotion radiate off of me. And after that, like, I noticed in myself, like, I was encouraging him and we were still in contact, but it, you know, he was busy saving his life and I was busy, you know, saving my own life. And we'd keep in touch, but at a certain point I recognized that I actually had been carrying the weight of like, well, you know, does he really want to be friends with me now? Like, he's changed as a person or whatever. Maybe I'm just too intense for this part of his life. And maybe, you know, I'm too emotionally involved to keep doing this to myself. So I have to confront him. I have to talk to him. And so I did. I wrote to him and I explained how I felt and that, you know, if I was too intense, it was okay. Because he had to deal with his stuff, but that I needed to know so that I knew, you know, where we were and where we stood. So he got back to me, and he was like, of course he wants to be my friend, but we needed to figure it out. And we met, like, early on this year in January, and we've seen each other since, but it was so amazing to meet him and see in person, because I only read his blog and, like, chatted with him. I hadn't really heard his voice very much because, you know, he didn't like talking on the phone. It was too tiring for him. And seeing him in person and really seeing how he had lost this doubt. Like, he was facing his mortality and he was enjoying every little aspect of his life. And him and his wife had decided to get pregnant. And he was explaining, like, the echo to me. And to see him... And everything that he's doing, and we talked about life and death, and we found a way to get back to what we like to do best, which was analyze shit. And we started, and like then he was ready to analyze ALS, and so we did that, and we analyzed what, you know, him sitting next to me and drooling if that would be okay or not, or, you know, that I knew he wasn't doing it on purpose, but he wanted to talk about it, not even that I wanted to talk about it. So we found our little connection again. But that actually is that inspiration was how I tied the end of the Last Supper at my place, that I was so happy that the Last Supper, it wasn't just that Last Supper, but I got to go to his place. It wasn't my place, it was his place, and just re-find that connection and reconnect with him. And so that's my story. Yay!
Thank you for sharing, and also thank you for something I forgot to mention. Thank you for Joelle's, how's that for pronunciation?
Excellent.
Not bad, Brian. Not only Joelle's first time here, but she did something that I neglected to do at the start of the evening, which was introduce the theme. So for those of you who are wondering, the first time people who are here, saying, Last Supper at my place, what's that mean? Each month here at My True Story,